It's nice to look the part. But it's another thing to stand here, and I always, whenever I've ministered before, it's for me such an awesome place, a place of responsibility that I don't tend to take it lightly. Yeah, it's a wonderful privilege to be honored in this way, Pastor. But God is faithful, and irrespective of our feelings and what we feel tonight, our desire is really, my desire is to serve God, and I'm glad to see that somebody else can see that. And it's really my desire to serve God with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind. But I'm a human being. I'm definitely a human being, and the struggle that we constantly face as human beings, myself, can't be seen by other people. It's not seen what God is doing in your life, what God is doing in my life. It can't be seen. There's often desires that we have which is not of God. And for me, it's often very important to do the things that I want to do. And so I've aptly titled the sermon, The Struggle Within, Your Desire. And this is really as a result of what God has been doing in the last few months in my life. And I trust I won't be sharing Gershwin Manual, but I'll be sharing what God has got in store for us. And from my notes, a desire is something that you want. A strong desire is a wish to have. Obviously, some of us would like to have a nice car. I would like to have a house of 2.3 million. Praise God. I would love to not have to work in this world. So desire is something that you want. And it's the reference that I went, I looked at the Oxford, and it says that in which one takes delight in. And it indicates something that comes from within. And nobody really, I've already said, nobody knows what's happening in your life and my life. And that's really, for me, the outcome thereof is so much deeper. But that's what I want to share, and I want to go to God's word now. The Bible says in Psalm 107, verse 30, the next slide. So he guides them to their desired haven. So I'm coming from the point of view, you must have a desire as a person, as an individual, where you want to be. Some of us find ourselves 20 years down the line serving the Lord. Some of us find ourselves 1 year down the line serving the Lord. But what is your desire and where does it come from? And myself, as I found there in the Word, that He guides them to their desired haven. What is your desired haven? What is my desired haven? Is it to serve God or is it just to form part of a church? To be seen in church? To be seen doing the right things? Those are the questions that I've already shared with you. And very importantly, desire determines your destiny. Your desire is determined, destiny is determined by your desire. And I'd like to explore two things today. Desires that leads to death, desires that leads to life. And I'll hopefully give you the answer also to convert from death to life. Okay. Okay, there's a lot of scriptures here tonight. That is always good. Next slide. Numbers, desires leading to death is found in Numbers 14, verse 2 to 4. I'll just scan through. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt." This is their heart. "And if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us select a leader and return." Then it carries on, verse 28. "Say to them, 'As I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do it to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness.'" So the Israelites complain the first few verses of the chapter. And then it was given to them in the answer later on in the chapter. I'll read again, verse 29. "The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above. except for Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. Verse 35 says, I, the Lord, have spoken this. I will surely do this so to all this evil congregation who are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. So from the Israelites, their desire was, they complained, the first few verses, why did we go there? If only we had died in the land of Egypt. That was their desire. The first few scriptures of Numbers 14. Go to verse 35. I, the Lord, have spoken this. I will surely do this. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. Whoa. The word is full of all these great utterances. Oh. In James 1 verse 13 it says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. His own desires and is being enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Now I know I serve the Lord, a God that is alive. I'm serving and working in the environmental field, and I can see the fields are populated, the weeds are growing also with the nice fruit also. But life is happening. God's nature is life. And when we associate death, death is not associated for me with God's greatness and God's goodness. Yeah, again, just to summarize it, the cycle of death is born by evil desires. Now, often I ask myself, what is my desire? Lord, is my desire right or not right? The evil desires in our lives is desires like stealing, to murder, to lust, things that you can't see. It's a desire. I can't see that, you can't see that in me, but God knows. So following the scripture in James 1 verse 13, it says then further on, verse 14, you are then enticed. From your evil desire, you are enticed. And that goes into temptation. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed, verse 14. To be tempted is to look at and delight in viewing. Now in my life, God has been faithful. I've been tempted often, but God is faithful and He's brought me along that point of enticement, and has given me somewhere in here the Holy Spirit that reminds me, listen, you are not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Even though my wife can't see, even though you can't see, I know because the Holy Spirit is convicting me. And then after enticement, what I found, and in your life, I'm bringing it back. I don't know what God is doing, what is here in your life. But you are dragged away. The bait is given to you. It's like the fish. When you're catching a fish, you put the bait on the hook, putting it down, you entice the fish, and the fish takes the bait. And at that moment, even though you think you've been strengthened, it's actually the weakening of your will. Your own will, my will, has been weakened at that point. After enticement, and then it goes over into conception. My mind is made up. My will is totally yielded. It's the end of the struggle. Galatians 5, verse 17. And this sounds so mournful. But at conception, it gives birth to something, the actual act of sinning, the actual act of going on. So there's a lot of work that happens from evil desires, to be enticed, to be dragged away, then to go over. And then there's growth. There's a repetition. And there's, specifically, there's no repentance. You carry on, and that eventually leads to death. Romans 6, verse 23. Okay? So I'm sketching the background. There is desires that is of death. Often all our desires, if we're not living, there's no sign of life, then we are here. Looking at the Bible, looking at Achan. If you look at, I'm specifically focused. Next slide, please. On Joshua. If you look at Joshua chapter 6, verses 20, and Joshua 24, verses 7, Achan himself, a man of God, well, a great man in the Bible, not a man of God. Verse 21, it says there, when the God, obviously, when God gave them the land, they had won and they had spoils. And in verse 7, verse 21 says in Joshua, I saw a beautiful robe. It was silver, it was gold, all the nice things. I saw the BMW. I saw the nice house in my life. And it caused him and it enticed him. I've often seen in our lives nowadays with people that is rushing after the better, the more, the greater. I was just this past week in Sandton, the hub of our country, economic hub. People are continuing carrying on enticement, the next best car, the next job, the next increase. And then I coveted them, Achan himself. He was dragged away and it was conceived. Then what he did, I took them. This is all in verse 21. He acted on it. He sinned. He saw it. He was enticed. I was dragged away in my mindset, weakening of my will. I took and I went over to action. And now they are hidden inside my tent. You cannot see it, but I have taken them. Growth. Sign of growth, and there was no repentance in Achan's case. In verse 27 of this chapter, Achan himself was stoned. All Israel stoned him and burned him, leading to death. So we can see this cycle of death is evident. It's not only evident in our life, but it's evident in the Bible. That's not taken from Gershwin's wonderful 3 months of struggling with the Lord. No, it's all in the Bible. Now let's look at the other side. Desires that leads to life. James 2, verses 2 to 12 is this portion of scripture that we've taken this from. And the heading there is profiting from trials. None of us wants to go through trials. Finding ourselves looking at the day in this age and day, what is happening in Japan, what is happening particularly in the company that I work for, the share price is driven by demand. Demand falls down, the share price goes down, all our sides, we fall through. In any case, profiting from trials. We think it's, in your case, being farmers, when you're upbringing the growth, wat sê hulle in Afrikaans, want jy opbring 'n bietjie laag is, dan wonder jy wat gaan aan. Selfde met ons ook. Sorry, let me switch over to English. So it is a trial period because then immediately you hear restructuring, loss of job, loss of security, all of those things and those questions. Who's going to provide? Who's going to supply? Those are the things that we go through. And here the Bible says in James, my brethren, all of you here, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And there's not no one trial. It'll be various, different kinds. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. It's difficult to understand, but produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. In contradictory. So let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Okay? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him who ask in faith, with no doubting, for your doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Double-mindedness, being unstable in all your ways. Then looking at carrying on, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation. Because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, And its beautiful appearances perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. In verse 12 it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So you will have temptations, but you'll be blessed if you endure that temptation. Then again, the cycle. In summary, where we looked at the cycle of life, the first thing which birthed from is that the good desires that we should have. Good desires such as to love, to forgive and to please God. But these good desires, you cannot think that you want to have good desires. It's actually desires that is born from within. The Bible says, he that is within you is greater than he that is within the world. This only can become real if God is within you. You cannot perceive and you cannot think and you cannot do anything because you cannot birth it out of yourself. I found that to be the case. This good desires leads to attitude of joy. During trials, and during those trials, you refuse your temptations. You stand firm. Thereafter, knowing that you've got the attitude of joy, you will get knowledge. You will know the purpose of the trial. In my life, when I'm tempted, at first I found, listen, I faltered a few times. Lord, please, I cannot carry on. I faltered, I've come short. But praise God, by His grace, I'm at a point of knowledge, from death to life. Know the purpose of God's trial to strengthen you. When you know the purpose, it leads you, you should pray. And those verses that is in the brackets, that is referring to the scripture that we just read, to pray. And you pray, you must pray for wisdom and how to behave in the trial. Because praise God, I do not know how to behave beforehand. Whenever I walk up in the morning, I say, Lord, this is your day. I know there's a plan that needs to be sorted, but I don't know how I'm going to handle that meeting. Even though I can do, I've got skills, I've got talents, I have way of words, but God, you know what I need to do. And this leads to single-mindedness. Stay focused on the answer. What is the promise of God in Hebrews 12 verse 2? What is the promise? We must stay focused. Single-mindedness. The Bible said there, double-mindedness that we read earlier, we should be single-minded. And then we must carry on, we must persevere. This is not like all those emotional, lovely, gushy things. This is how we should go about doing it. It's a walk of life that I'm in at the moment, constantly going. But praise God, in verse 12 it says, you will receive the crown of life. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So praise God. We've looked at Achan on the negative side. Let's look at Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, in his life, you'll see that he had good desires. Philippians 3 verse 10. Can you click, please? Philippians 3 says, I want to know Christ and the fullness of his glory. Carrying on, if you read that scripture. He had a good desire. And listen, I've been a Christian for 20 years, my desires, my intentions, I thought was good. But Apostle Paul had endured it also. In his good desires, he had an attitude of joy. This is not lekker. This is not nice. When we're in jail, when we're faced with that challenge, that weak point, the thing that you don't know, himself and Silas, they sang. They sang amongst it, and amongst the terrible times, they sang. This attitude of joy then led to knowledge. Let's read the scripture. As we know that all things God works for the good to those who love him. As we know, knowing that all things where God works for the good to those who love him. And then Apostle Paul also prayed. You find that in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8 to 9. Three times I pleaded with the Lord. Three times I pleaded with the Lord. I don't know what at that stage, But it's more than once. How often we find ourselves after the first temptation, second temptation, third temptation, well, in this case, the first one, we expect God, Lord, you must help me, I've given over to you. We actually demand God, please come and help us. Well, I don't know, but that's what I found. We actually demand that of God. And there's many things in our life, I know of things in friends of mine lives and my own life, which we struggle with. It's chemical imbalances, emotional imbalances, and there's results thereof. And because of that, they've said, they've given over 100% to the Lord. They said, Lord, please help me with this. I've given over. But then they expect it just to happen like that. The word of God teaches us here through Apostle Paul that the knowledge will lead you to prayer, will prayer continuously. And then through prayer, you will receive single-mindedness. It will develop and cultivate single-mindedness. Therefore, in Apostle Paul also said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, therefore I will boast of all the more gladly about my weaknesses. Now this is so contradictory because as Christians, as people of this world, you're not supposed to see my weakness. I must put up a front and you must perceive me like I want you to be perceived. Like I want you to perceive myself. I must portray that which you want to see. And it's not nice because then you won't necessarily be accepted as a man if you are seen to be weak. Different. Then Apostle Paul, he also persevered. Philippians 3:12. I will press on to take hold. This is talking of perseverance. Every morning I will stand up and I will run that 10Ks. I'm doing the marathon in 3 months from now. Okay, it's too late to start, but you can carry on. But I will stand up every day, 10Ks I will do. Every morning I will stand up, Lord, you know my weakness. I will stand up and I will pray. I found in my life the last few months that simple things, this is coming back to the basics, praying, seeking God's face earnestly out of the heart, has transformed my day to day, with every meeting, small or big. God has made everything equal. And that's so nice, to be able to know that there's certain people of power which you don't have to do anything. You've given them over to the Lord and the Lord sorts them out beforehand. You see the results thereof. And that's why I can just glory in what He's doing in my life. Perseverance. Let's persevere. We are in the last days. We can see it around amongst us. We can see it in nature. Nature's crying out. Yet we as Christians find ourselves so cushy. That's my perception. We find ourselves so lovely, especially in South Africa. But God is coming. Are we really doing what God wants us to do? What is our desire? What is your desire? To serve the Lord or to attain a good life in this earth whilst serving God? You can have both. But what is your desire? To get the crown of life? Also Paul, he looked forward and he said that, you find it in 2 Timothy 4:8, now there is in store for me, he said to Timothy, the crown of righteousness. So Apostle Paul, his life is an example of the life that can be given, that is received. So we've looked at desires of life, desires leading to life, desires leading to death. Let's move over. If you are in a situation, myself, or in a situation, which I was, even though I had the form of being godly, serving the Lord, I was really dead. There was no real life. There was no real relationship. It's easy to put on a show, really. But God is faithful. And I found this to be useful. I repented. Next slide. I repented, and it's all biblical. I had to repent. I had to reinforce, and I had to regain. Now I'll be spending a few minutes on each topic. Cycle from death to life. I know we've got a lot of cyclists here. Let's tackle the cycle. Not the cycle to death, but let's go from death to life. In Revelation 2, verse 4, it says there, the first portion, we must repent. Now listen, I know you're getting tired a bit. The Bible says here, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. We need to repent. Ons moet bely. Proverbs 23 verse 26 says, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. I must serve the Lord with all that I have after I've repented. Not for the good of my wife or my kids. Yes, it has benefits, but it's a personal walk with the Lord. Matthew 22 verse 37 says, you shall love the Lord with all, Lord God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. With all, with all, with all. There's no two ways about it. I want to be nice. I want Brenton to be a brilliant sportsman. But he shouldn't love his sports more than the Lord. I shouldn't love my job or my wife more than the Lord. I shouldn't love my wife more than the Lord. Gee whiz. Guys, ladies, where's our hearts? In any case, I've repented of it. God willing, I'm doing my best not to put anything else before Him. But it's not an easy road. People will not understand you sometimes. People will not understand what is God is doing in your life. Let's go over. We must reinforce. Scripture says in Ephesians 3 verse 16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit and the inner man. You'll be strengthened. You'll be reinforced. I'm working for PPC. And we prepare a particular product, ordinary Portland cement, that you use for reinforcement. You've got in your reinforced, you've got also steel that you use to get stronger cement, a stronger structure. Yeah, spiritually speaking, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. He's got a lot. He's got a lot. To be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. So where people can't see, where I can't see, where you can't see, God is able to see, and He will strengthen you, He will reinforce that which you thought has been lost. Now, how do we do this? Practically. The Word of God, when you're going through a difficult circumstance, it's like it's not nice. Why must you read the Word of God now? I found that. It's boring. It's uninteresting. I'm not learning. I don't want to learn. So a klein kindjie wat daar een kan sit en sê, nee, hom nie nou, los my net. Ek wil dit myself waar bevind. You need to read the Word of God. This is not in the point of order, please. Prayer, no. It's all of them together. Second one is prayer. I found that prayer, my heart, has drawn me closer to the Lord. And that has led me to reading the Word of God. In my case, I don't know what God is doing in your lives. And praise God, the Bible says, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I will continuously be filled with the Holy Spirit. And very important fellowship. Yes? The cell groups, you don't want to attend. You feel you want to just get one side. Nobody will understand. You're not at the right place. Now you're sinning. You want tend to find yourself, now you want to sit one side. Just leave me. Don't come and visit me. Don't phone me. You need to get out of it. You need fellowship. You need the Word of God. You need prayer. And we need to realize that as Christians, those of us that find ourselves in life, those others that are weak, that want to be one side, we need to go and get them. That's fellowship. We need their fellowship. It's the love of God. I'm very sensitive to this nowadays because in our weakness, one tends to focus on your weakness and you think that God can't use you. No. That's exactly where God wants to show himself, being exalted in the circumstance where you are weak. He is made strong in that situation and circumstance. So let's reach out. We reinforce by reaching out. Lastly, the prodigal son. We all know what the prodigal son went through. He threw out and he decided, no, he wanted to go on his tangent. But eventually, praise God, he repented. I'm not going to the exact scripture. You can go find and read that through you. He repented. He was reinforced. His heart was reinforced with the truths of his father's abundant food. He received the robe again. He regained his position in verse 24. And what he regained also was a privilege as a son. Wonderful. You have the privilege of a son and of a daughter. But you can regain that. And lastly, it's like this has been so good to me. A new prospect of life. A totally new prospect of life. Every day, the way that you thought in the past will not be the same. Because you've got a new outlook. Godly outlook. And praise God, it's good. And let's go through the total cycle then. Cycle from life, from death to life. First of all, like we said, we need to repent. This the verses again. We need to have the desire and the change, the desire to change. We need to give total surrender. And really, this is earnest total surrender. If you want to seek and grow in the Lord, you must surrender all of it. Then it will be reinforced, like we read in Ephesians 3 verse 16. Our hearts need to be strengthened. Our hearts are weak, it needs to be strengthened. And our desires for God need to be stronger and more intense. And this is what I said earlier. People will not necessarily understand, but you know where you want to be with the Lord. So let's rather go for what the Lord wants for you and seek his heart first and foremost. And then you will regain the crown of life like the prodigal son. In front of the people, he was acknowledged. They had a wonderful, wonderful banquet there. Life is so great. Life is so great. And it's strange, but it's good. This is God's way of doing things. Not how people want, but I can testify how God is faithful. So what this evening is in your heart? What type of desire is in your heart? God's asked me, he's answering you this evening. And what are you going to do? Do you have evil desires? Do you have good desires? Because that's where it's birthed. If you have evil desires, it leads to death. If you have good desires, it leads to life. If you find yourself in a situation where you have evil desires, you can come to the Lord. Repent. When you repent, it will be reinforced. After reinforcement, through the fellowship, the reading of the Word of God, Holy Spirit, you will regain the crown of life. Now what? Sorry, that's a typo. What are you going to do? You have a choice. You know where you stand. Are you going to act or not? Because it's easy just to find yourself in the comfort zone and not wanting to change. Not wanting this uncomfortable feeling of being pressed. The olive oil that you use in your food, it's actually pressed. The more it's pressed, the better. Extra virgin oil. And it's the better. It's healthier. Do you want to be pressed for the right reasons? And what does God's word say to you today? We've just said God's word. What do you need to do? Amen.